Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Ten Commandment Model when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell was one of the pillars of modern geology, and he published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. And it's Lyell's concepts that are so widely accepted today that most people who believe them don't even know who it was that originated these ideas. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins was devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes that we observe today back through time indefinitely. And in that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood have been strictly ruled out. And this process now is called science. Well, listen to this. The sun is shrinking. That was a Newswire report. And it made that surprising statement. The sun is shrinking. The sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Scientists have been watching now for more than 100 years, and the evidence is now conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. Now, if the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. And if the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. And only 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would be touching the Earth. Now, as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Now, what did our teachers tell us, though, about the dinosaurs' extinction? Didn't that occur 65 million years ago? But 20 million years ago, the sun would have been 93 million miles in diameter. And 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs died out. Now, you know, we don't have to be rocket scientists to do the math on these kinds of pseudo-scientific lies. And that's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the banner of science. And this is one of the many lessons here that we teach in our Mosaic Law School. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine, send us an email request. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about this thing of the Ten Commandment model. Now, remember, there's only two models in the world, two paradigms, two systems of law that we find extend on planet Earth. The Ten Commandment model's been around for a long time. God, the Creator, started this Ten Commandment model back in the Garden of Eden. He told the first two people, Adam and Eve, he said, now, this is the standard, these are the laws, this is the system that'll bring you everything you want. And then he gave them some do's and don'ts and some laws. And they didn't think that was such a good idea, so they went right out and broke the law. Now, from that point on, it's been a tussle for mankind on planet Earth, a real tussle. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They woke up one day, and their firstborn son killed their secondborn son, so we had a murder. And then about 1,656 years later, you know, going through the chronology, we have Noah's flood. And that wiped out all the people on planet Earth because of their criminal behavior. They were behaving in a way that made the Creator so upset that he killed everybody but eight. He saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives alive. Eight people survived it. Well, that's a historical record. You know, whether you believe it or not, it's your problem. Life, not mine. I'm just a reporter. I'm here to report this. The point I'm making is that the Ten Commandment model was rejected. So it isn't surprising today that the Ten Commandment model is, has been, and will continue to be rejected. But when you reject something, that doesn't mean that that it goes away or it doesn't exist or that it never existed. You replace it with something, and we human beings have replaced the Ten Commandment model with a whole host and plethora of different competing models of government, economics, social, and philosophical practices. And we hang different labels on them. You know, the Germans during World War II, they put a label on their system. They called it Nazism. And then the Swedes, they've got a socialism. They call themselves socialists. And then the Italians, they call themselves fascists. And these are economic and political models. Here in the West, we call ourselves capitalists. In Russia, they call themselves communists. But there's something that all of these systems have in common that they all practice. whether you're a Nazi or a socialist, a capitalist or a communist, one of the things that you all practice is an income tax. You do not practice tithing, you practice the income tax. You all have a central bank, a central authority to issue your money. Rather than gold and silver, you issue paper money or clad coins. And you all have to have national health care insurance or national health care or insurance of some kind. In place of strict liability, you introduce limited liability. That's what insurance is all about. So today we call these the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, but they didn't just get started in the last 100 or 200 years. These 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, going back into ancient times, got their start with the Babylonian mystery of religion. We find it at the Tower of Babel. And these principles of governance, or these principles of law, have been around for thousands of years, and mankind has been dabbling with all of these various and sundry ideologies and economic and social practices, and we seem to love them, and we hang labels on them. Then we're not fighting over the Ten Commandments versus the Ten Planks. What we're fighting over is communism versus Nazism, or Nazism versus capitalism, and socialism. We get all these isms together, and then we start debating which one is the best, kind of like debating whether or not getting killed with a bullet is better than getting killed with a bomb, or maybe getting killed with poison, or maybe getting killed with a lightning bolt. I mean, you know, death is dead is dead is dead. You know, what the hell difference does it make how you got killed? They're not talking about life versus death. They're talking about death and the various modalities that we should all participate in. I've got a different modality. Let's avoid this death model, and let's take a look at the life model. You know, maybe it would be better for us. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, but I'd report on it and tell you, why don't we think about something outside the box? Now, last time when we got up to number 64, we were talking about insurance, which is a violation of the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Now, insurance is pretty common. Everybody has insurance. The government requires you to have insurance on your car. The bank requires that you have insurance, fire insurance, homeowner's insurance on your house to protect them in case you die and you don't complete paying your mortgage. So we're looking at 82 laws. Out of 133 laws in the Bible, or subject matters of law, we find here in the United States of America that we're in violation of 82 out of 133. We're still practicing 51, but we're in violation of, and we're no longer practicing, 82. And the next one on the list was quarantine. Quarantine is a requirement. It's a law. God gave us a law. So you got sick people. The sick people have to be separated from the healthy people. That's to protect the healthy people from getting sick. You'll find that law in Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. But our government says, no, that quarantine thing, that's barbaric. It's a barbaric relic. And so we don't practice quarantine in this country. And we've got a little different system over here, you know. I wanted to point out, though, that the country in the world that has the lowest rate of infection from HIV/AIDS, lowest rate of infection, you know what country that is? It's Cuba. Cuba. Yeah, communist Cuba. They have the lowest rate. And do you know what they practice down there? And the United Nations is on them. I mean, the United Nations calls them a bunch of barbarians down there because they're practicing quarantine. And they got the lowest rate of HIV in the world. Just thought I'd point that out to you. Oaths, very common. That's number 66. You know, you walk into court, and what's the first thing the judge wants you to do before you say anything? He wants you to raise your hand and swear an oath, which you're told not to do in the Bible. Do you know in James 5:12 and Matthew 5:33-37, you're told, do not take an oath. Isn't that strange? You got to ask yourself, and here's the crazy part of it. They don't do it anymore, but they used to have you swear your oath on the Bible. Yeah. You'd walk in, and they'd bring out a Bible. I can remember this up in Idaho. Bring out a Bible, and then you'd put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and swear on the only book in the world that tells you not to do that. Name another book. Think about this for a minute. Can you tell me if there's another book published anywhere in the world that tells you, do not take an oath? Did you see that in the Encyclopedia, or the Reader's Digest, or U.S. News and World Report, or in Lady Chatterley's Lover? But come on, the only book in the world that I have ever heard of that says, do not take an oath, is the Bible. So when you go, we know this, when you went into the courtroom, did they hand you a book like, you know, the Encyclopedia? Here, swear an oath on the Encyclopedia. Here, swear an oath on this book we got here. Swear an oath on U.S. News and World Report that you're going to tell the truth. No, they bring in the only book that tells you not to do that. That's why I told you the other day. I said, you know, if God told you to stand up, you'd sit down. If he told you to come here, you'd run away. Now, I don't know why it is that we feel like if you raise your hand and swear an oath, that makes you tell the truth. But for some reason, we came to that conclusion, and we came to the conclusion long, long, long ago. Hell, this whole thing has been going on for thousands of years. Social Security, that violates Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. It's insurance, but it's worse than that. It's the mark of the beast. And we call it insurance, limited liability. And the government promotes it. That's the crazy part of it. See, the government the government comes out and they endorse Social Security and in fact pass laws and make you believe that you have to have Social Security. It's the law. Well, I don't have Social Security. 14 million Americans do not have Social Security. 14. Not very many, but you know, at least there's a few that don't. Now, banking. You know, the government licenses banks. Banking is a violation of Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, and Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Banking is a criminal activity. And so the government licenses banks and incorporates banks. In fact, we even created a bank. It's called the Federal Reserve System, Federal Reserve Bank. They call it the Federal Reserve Bank Board. Identification. In Jeremiah 10, verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, and Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, we're told not to participate in this kind of thing. Now, most countries in the world have national identification. The United States has it, but we don't have it formally. And they're talking about it, though. They're talking about implementing a national identification program. Most people are identified through Social Security, driver's licenses, and birthdays. Birthday, your name, birth date, and Social Security number. That's the three modalities that they use to identify. Identification, by the way, is the means by which we claim our property. First thing you have to do to claim your property is identify it. And so the state wants to identify you as their chattel property. That's why they need your identification. Firearms and weapons. You know, in many countries, they ban firearms and weapons. But not here in the scripture. Matthew 26, verses 51 and 52, for instance, Luke 22, 36, John 18, 10 and 11, we see people armed, you know, with weapons. It's been around for thousands of years, you know, individual weapons. But from time to time, kings get nervous about their subjects and citizens having weapons, and they want to ban them. That's against the law to do that. Lottery, gambling. That's a violation of Joshua 18, verse 6, Matthew 27, 35, Leviticus 16, verse 8. There's three statutes there that prohibit gambling and, in specificity, the lottery, you know, which is promoted by government in the lottery. See, if the lottery is in private hands, like the mafia running a numbers racket, that's wicked, awful, terrible, and evil. But if the state of New York runs the same lottery, a numbers racket over here, it's righteous, holy, just, and good. Can you explain that to me? Send me an email, would you? Explain why the state, when they run a numbers racket, it's righteous, and when the mafia runs it, it's wicked. Marriage and divorce. It isn't that marriage is against the law. It's the government interfering in marriage. And notice this. The government comes along, and they involve themselves in marriage, and then prohibit polygamy. Can you believe that? Yeah. Here in the United States, it's against the law. The government came in and said, thou shalt not have two wives. God never prohibited polygamy. In fact, God, he didn't really promote it, but he never banned it. In fact, God was a polygamist. Did you know that the creator of the universe had two wives, Israel and Judah? He divorced Israel and Judah killed him. Now, the state comes along and promotes sodomy and same-sex marriage. Can you believe that? They promote same-sex marriage and prohibit polygamy, which, by the way, is provided for in Exodus 21, verses 1 through 11. And then divorce, you know, marriage and divorce go together. It isn't that divorce violates the law of God. There's a provision in the scripture for divorce. It's in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. But it's the way the state conducts the divorce that violates that statute. So the government interferes in marriage and divorce and then screw up the statutes in the Bible and make them of no effect by our tradition. Childbirth. The government interferes in childbirth. There's a statute in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8. Says this is the way we have to do this. State comes along and says, no, that's not right. Medical doctors. What could be more common, more natural, when you're sick or when your child is sick, to go to the medical doctors, the medical profession, for help? That's a crime. It violates 2 Kings 1, 1 through 18. Violates Exodus 15, 16 to start with. But, or, excuse me, Exodus 15, 26. You got to get that down. It's Exodus 15, verse 26. That's the statute that it violates. But this whole concept of healing and medicine over here is a crime. And God has spelled out, the Creator spelled out a modality for healing, a modality for health. Put in 18 health laws in Scripture. And I said, if you violate one of these health laws and you come up sick, then here's the modality I want you to follow. And the state comes in here, licenses allopathic medical doctors, creates and subsidizes hospitals in a $1 trillion-a-year industry. You know, like cancer, heart attack, stroke. And then they underwrite and subsidize it. And then if you come along and you use any of the natural herbs like Laetril, you know, vitamin B17, to treat your cancer, my God, they'll put you in prison if they catch you doing that. I mean, if you wanted to use a vitamin B17, I mean, you got to go to Mexico to get the stuff. You got to go. It's like trying to buy B17 is like trying to buy heroin, for crying out loud, you know, or cocaine. You got to buy out in the underground market, in the black market. All right, now evolution. In our public schools, you know, you learned evolution just like I did, you know. And that's a violation of Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11. Yep, evolutionary philosophy, that's a crime. The government promotes that. God, they're just right into that with both hands and both feet, aren't they? And then there's sex education in schools. It isn't that sex education is wrong. It's the way it's being conducted. That's the criminal part of it. And so they want to teach you sex education in school. What they're teaching in school is licentiousness and sexual permissiveness rather than the law on sex or that governs sex. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 18, full chapter on sex. But do you find chapter 18 of Leviticus being taught in your public school? Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. And then and when we go into court, we have a thing here called court costs. You ever notice that? Now, that's a counterfeit of heave offerings. That's a violation of Numbers 18, verses 8 through 11. The sin offering, that's the fine. And that's a violation of Leviticus 4, verses 1 through 5. You know, the government's just got to get right in there and screw up those two laws and get you and I to participate in paying fines and court costs, which is a violation of Numbers 18, verses 8 through 11 of Leviticus 4, verses 1 through 5. And then we got to have a birth certificate, don't we? We got to come down and register our births. That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. It's called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. And then number 82, here's the last one on my list over here. It's called the death penalty. And it's not that the death penalty is a violation of the law of God. In fact, it's prescribed by God himself, the creator. He's the guy that came up with the idea of capital punishment, just in case you didn't know. In fact, he's so much in favor of capital punishment that he has applied capital punishment to 24 categories of crimes, not just murder or kidnapping or treason, which is the only three that I can think of here in the United States that could get you killed by the state. If you murder somebody, the state, and in some cases, now I don't know how many states are still practicing the death penalty. New York doesn't, Texas does. And I don't know if they're split, you know, 60-40 or 30-10, I don't know. I've never looked that up, I can't tell exactly. But some states still practice the death penalty, and those states that don't practice the death penalty are in violation of the capital penalty law, and those states that do practice capital punishment are also in violation of the capital penalty statute. How do you like that? So it doesn't make any difference which state you live in. The governments won't practice the law of God. Now, God requires that you stone people to death. That's the general modality for the death penalty. There's a couple of three special ones, but the general modality is stoning to death. And the state comes along and says, oh, no, that's cruel and unusual, or it's a barbaric or something like that. And so God requires that there be an atonement made for a crime, and then that the atonement is the death penalty, and that blood must flow. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Did you know that? And so the state never forgives, never. There's never any forgiveness of sin by the state. And that's why they keep a record on what you do forever. That's why you have a criminal record. You could never expunge your criminal record by repentance. Now, God is a little different. God will forgive you your sins, and then he won't bring them to mind again. He doesn't keep a criminal record. But he requires punishment for the crime. So, you know, if you commit a crime, David committed a crime. If you'll remember, he committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. And he had to pay the penalty. That's all. Paid the penalty. He was forgiven the sin, but he had to pay the penalty. Well, anyway, stoning is the prescribed modality. Now, take a look. Today, the most common way of executing criminals, we give them lethal injection. Is there any bloodshed? No. Or we hang them. Any bloodshed? Nope. Or we electrocute them. You know, how much blood do you see in electrocution? Or we gas them to death. Any bloodshed there? See, it doesn't make any difference what God tells you. You're going to do exactly the opposite now, aren't you? You're going to do something different. You might not know exactly what, but we're going to do something. Something's going to be a little different here. So as a result of that, the creator of the universe, from time to time, you know, we call him God or Jesus or, you know, Allah, Buddha, Shinto, you know, we have all these various and sundry names. And in Germany, they call him Gott, G-O-T-T, Gott. In the United States, we call him God, G-O-D. These are titles that we hang on deities. This God actually has a name. His name is right up front in Matthew. He's called Emmanuel. You know, the angel came and told Mary that his name is Emmanuel. I've never heard anybody call him Emmanuel. I'm not quite sure why. They'll call him Jehovah, or God, or Jesus. Anything but Emmanuel. So I just thought I'd report that to you. Now, this guy that's in the Bible called Emmanuel, that nobody likes to use his name, they've got a little different take on things over here, and they've got their own religion, their own religious ideologies, and so on, and it's protected by the First Amendment here in this country. If you want to believe in your religious ideology, that's fine, and I'm not here to chide you over. If you're a Catholic, God love you. You know, if you're a Protestant, more power to you. If you're a Jew, God love you. But I wanted to point out that the reason that we're getting Hurricane Katrina's and drought out in the West and an economic collapse is because of our violation of these 82 laws. Now, you individually may be in violation of some of the other 51, but I wanted to point out that the government, that is the United States of America, the federal government, is actively encouraging you and licensing you and threatening you and loaning you money with low-interest loans to entice you to violate these 82. Doing everything they can to get you to violate these 82 laws. Now, boys and girls, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. I emphasize that because we think that there is. We believe that there is. We believe that you can break the law and get away with it. And it doesn't happen here, not on this planet. We're deluding ourselves into believing that we can use paper money issued by the Federal Reserve Bank, sponsored by, legitimized, and licensed by the Congress of the United States without paying any kind of penalty for that. That we're going to get health, wealth, wisdom, and prosperity by using usury, interest, debt, and unjust weights and balances. Well, my God, we honest to God believe that prosperity comes from more and more debt, and they're proposing, and they're saddling us with more and more debt. This is going to come to a no good end. No good end. So I thought I'd report that to you. And if you want to participate in it, that's your choice in life. Hell, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I'm going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to stay out of debt. I'm not going to pay usury and interest. I'm going to do my best to practice these laws. Every time I find one of these laws that I haven't been practicing, you know, I say, well, gee, look at that. There's a new challenge for me. Let me see if I can live my life without a bank account. So if a bank is a criminal activity, oftentimes I ask students, as they come into class, and I say, how many of you people do business with the mafia? Then all you get, you know, all the students will look at you with this blank, hollow stare. You might as well ask them, you know, how many of you people are practicing sodomites? I never have asked that question. I think I'll try that. I'll just ask everybody, how many of you people in here are practicing sodomites? I think you'll get the same blank, hollow, unbelieving stare. Like, I can't believe you asked that. So when I ask them, how many of you people do business with the mafia, they all emphatically deny that they have any business connections with the mafia at all. And I ask them why, and they say, well, it's a criminal institution. Then I ask the second question, I say, well, how many of you people have business connections with your state or federal government? And they all look at you and like, the same blank, hollow stare, but they're looking at, but their brains are going around, and they say, well, yes, of course, I have a driver's license and marriage license, and I do business, I do business with the government. I say, why would you do business with the government of the United States, but you wouldn't do business with the Cosa Nostra? They're both criminal enterprises. Now, mull that one over for a minute while we give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The law, our website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. And once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. And then finally, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, with that duty out of the way, let me go back here. We're talking about this thing of the Ten Commandment model. Now, the religious people got into the act. The religious people picked up on the Bible, and they're out here using the Bible. And I saw Bill Clinton come out of church one time carrying a Bible under his arm. I mean, that's about as incongruous as going over to Mustang Ranch and watching a whore come out of Mustang Ranch with a Bible under her arm. I mean, what would you think of that? Not that whores shouldn't carry Bibles or that Bill Clinton shouldn't. I mean, after all, it's a book, and I guess if you want to pick it up, you can carry it out. But, you know, normally, you wouldn't expect to see a whore practicing or carrying a Bible. They would have the exact opposite, wouldn't you think? Because the Bible is a book that talks about whores and whoredom in very unflattering and uncompromising ways. And it says that whores should be stoned to death and that whoredom should be abolished, done away with. If you want to see something that ought to be abolished and done away with and nailed to the cross with Jesus, it's whoredom. Well, that's just one crime out of many. Now, not to pick on whores. Jesus had, you know, he had more kind words to say about whores than he ever did about preachers. So if you're a prostitute and you're sitting over there saying, well, that Jesus guy over there, he's not my kind of guy because he's opposed to my occupation over there. He had better words for you whores out there than he ever had for a preacher, a banker, or a lawyer. All right, so there's a little hope for you. In fact, there's more hope for whores than there is for preachers, lawyers, and bankers. Now, that's my take on it. He called them liars, hypocrites, murderers. He used words that we can't use on the air. That's the bottom line to that. And you can read them for yourself. It's in Luke 11, 37 through 54. Jot that down, all you lawyers and preachers out there. That's what sweet Jesus had to say about you lawyers and preachers out there. Luke 11, 37 through 54. There's his take on the legal profession and the preacher profession. Now, you know, a lot of these laws, you know, people, they get kind of defensive, and they say, well, you think you're such a righteous Rosie. Oh, no, no. Little Georgie over here never been a righteous Rosie. Hell, I'm very familiar with Mustang Ranch. In fact, when I was in the waterbed business, one of my dealers in Reno, Nevada, told me that I had more Atlantis waterbeds in Mustang Ranch than any other manufacturer in the industry. So I'm happy to know that I've contributed my share to the happiness and the well-being of the customers and the management staff of one of the most notorious and biggest whorehouses in Nevada. Now, that's a little Georgie here. Not that that was necessarily a crime on my part, but I just wanted to point out over here that I'm fully familiar with the trade. And if there's any of these laws on here that I brought to your attention that I haven't violated, which there are a couple, three, you know, that I, like bestiality, I never did indulge myself in bestiality. That's number 24. Sabbath breaking, though, prostitution and whores, New Year's. I never got into unisex clothes. I never did think that wearing a bra would do much for me one way or the other, so I stayed off of that one. Mixed fabric clothes, I broke that law. Unclean meats, I broke in on pickled pig's feet. And if there's anything that's unclean, now, I never did eat baked wharf rat. You know, I got to admit, I haven't eaten every unclean thing. That I never ate any snake, you know, to my knowledge, and I never ate any monkey brains. Or, you know, there's some good stuff out there that I never had the pleasure of eating. But I want to tell you that there were a lot of unclean animals out there, and I ate my share of them. Practiced birthdays. And I never practiced real estate by license myself. I never had a license. But I was out buying and selling real estate constantly. So I broke that law. Never paid an inheritance tax. Never had a will. I went to public school, though. That's number 16. I was institutionalized for 12 years. So I'm a product of the institutionalization. Census, yeah, I've participated in that. Ate a lot of fat. I ate a lot of blood, but not directly. I mean, I didn't just get right out there. I told you about old Tony Rocha, didn't I? Old Tony, we were butchering pigs one day, and Tony went over and got his coffee cup. You know, when you're milking cows, you know we like to drink coffee. And so we'd have a coffee cup. You know, we had a coffee pot, you know, back in the milk house. In the pump room is where it was, you know, where the vacuum pump is running. We had a coffee pot in there, and old May would come down and, you know, keep it stoked up. And so, you know, when we'd run out of load of milk, you know, we'd load up on coffee and so on. Well, we had our coffee cups there in the barn, you know. Well, old Dadini comes over one day, you know, we're killing a couple of pigs. So Dadini shoots this pig, he falls in the gutter, and he cuts his throat, and old Tony sticks his cup right under that pig's throat, fills up his cup with the steaming hot blood and starts drinking it. God, I thought I was going to lose it. I thought I was going to lose breakfast. I'm 15 years old, you know, I've never seen anything like that in my life. made me want to puke. Dedini, the butcher, you know, he'd seen that before. I'd never seen anything like it. Frank then took me aside and he said, now, you know, where we come from in Portugal, you know, we don't waste anything. And here in America, you know, we're a lot wealthier, so we just bleed the pig in the ground, and we don't make blood sausage and we don't drink the blood. But he said, over in Portugal, we do. So I saw it done. I didn't do it directly, but, you know, the voting, yeah, I used to be a registered voter. That's number 12. Usury, God, I paid my usury. I charged my interest. Adultery, yeah, I got involved in adultery. Abortion. Passing your seed through the fire tomorrow. Yep, I took all five of my kids and gave them to the state. Got birth certificates for all five of them. Sodomy, number 8. No, I didn't get involved in sodomy. Witchcraft. Now, witchcraft has about 17 or 18 modalities. I dabbled a little in it. You know, I never got into it hot and heavy. My granny, you know, she was pretty hot and heavy into witchcraft. You know, she wasn't riding around on a broom, you know, on a full moon, but she wouldn't leave the house until she got her horoscope from the American Astrology Magazine. And she was an observer of time. People that practice birthdays are called observers of time. Did you know that? Yeah, you're observing your time when it comes, your birthday. Observers of time. That's a capital felony, by the way. That's a death penalty. Unjust weights and balances. Oh, God, yeah, I was involved in checks and credit cards and Federal Reserve notes. Interracial marriage, never got involved in that one. I never did that one. Easter, I did it a time or two. I participated in the program, you know, like everybody else, but I got out of that one kind of early on. Pork, ate a lot of it. Christmas, loved it. Integration versus segregation. I'll have to do a series of programs on that. I'm making the case for segregation. I think I'll do that. Because, you see, integration is politically correct, and segregation is horrid, isn't it? I went to public school. I understand the race issue, you know, kind of, you know. And yet, I think that segregation was a better program than integration. In fact, in the Bible, in fact, the very first law that I've got on here, integration versus segregation, violates Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now, the way we practiced segregation was a violation of the law, but the segregation wasn't against the law. Just like marriage and divorce. See, marriage isn't against the law, and divorce isn't against the law. It doesn't violate the law of God to get a divorce. It doesn't violate the law of God to get married. It's the way we marry. It's the conduct of it. That marriage license is a crime. And these marriage partners, a lot of them are criminals. I mean, you know, the people that you marry, did you know that God told you that here's who you shall marry and here's who you shall not marry? Which is why you need a license. Did you know that? See, a license, by definition, you can look this up in the legal dictionary, a license is permission to do something. It's permission to do something that without the license would be illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. So what is it about marriage that would be illegal or unlawful without a license? And the answer is interracial marriage. Kent Hovind, nice guy that he is on his tapes up here, and Kent Hovind said, you know, I can't find any place in the Bible that prohibits interracial marriage. And I'm a crummy plumber, and I can find 10. I'm telling you, boys and girls, all I am is a crummy plumber, and I can find 10 places in the Bible that tell you don't do that. Kent Hovind's been to seminary. Kent Hovind's a preacher. Kent Hovind's a sky pilot, a holy joke. He can't find a single one in the entirety of the Bible. And I'm a crummy plumber, and I found 10. Hell, there might be 25. I don't know, but I know there's 10, and I can identify. Or that I can identify. So I'm just telling you that you know, a lot of what goes on out here in the world is a criminal activity. And I identified 82 of these criminal activities that are being promoted by the government, for crying out loud. The government is not neutral in this thing of promoting crime. In fact, the government is central in the promotion of crime. The government goes out of its way to create and to license crime. When I pointed those out, quarantine, for instance, is a governmental affair. Oaths is a governmental affair. And when you go into court, the judge goes out of his way to get you to violate James 5:12 and Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. The government goes out of its way, enacts laws to get you to practice Social Security so that you can violate Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. The government creates laws to encourage you to use unjust weights in banking and usury and interest through banking in violation of Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16 and Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. And the government goes out of its way to encourage you to engage in gambling, particularly in the lottery, in violation of Joshua 18:6, Matthew 27:35, and Leviticus 16, verse 8. Come on, boys and girls, I'm just hitting the tops of the nails here. I'm not really getting into it hot and heavy and deep. Now, each and every one of these laws has a penalty. In fact, there's 28 penalties. When we get into the scripture, and I do this in my book here, I got a book here called The Mosaic Law. I didn't count the pages in it. I guess I could do that if I was to ask Kinko's, you know, how many pages are in the Mosaic Law? But I'm going to make a guess here. There's 500 pages or more. It fills a 2-inch binder. And as I recall, a 2-inch binder holds about 500 pages, you know, about 250 sheets of paper, and it's printed on both sides, about 500 pages, 8.5 by 11. So it's 8.5 by 11 inch sheets of paper, about 500 pages of them. Now, it's divided into 133 chapters. 133 chapters. And I start off with, it's in alphabetical order. I code pled the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's 1,189 chapters in there. Did you know that? I think it's 1,244 pages, 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Well, I reduced it down. I just took it in alphabetical order so that you could find it. Like theft, you know, like thou shalt not steal is identified with the theft statute. So how many statutes are there on theft in the Bible? And, you know, I don't have the book right here in front of me. It's sitting across the room. But my guess is that there's about 7 or 8. And so we've got one subject matter over here called theft, like adultery. See, adultery is way up front. Aaronic priest is number one. And then there's Levitical priests. They come under L for Levitical priests. And then there's theft, you know, whores. I got a chapter in there on whores and whoredom, you know, for all you prostitutes and working girls out there that just out there making a living. It's way toward the end of the book under W for whores. It goes back there with witches and witchcraft and wages. Wages, witchcraft, whores, and so on. So, you know, you get to W, and there's that chapter back there. And there's several statutes that deal with whores. Here's the one I really like. You know what you do with a whore when you catch her, when you catch this prostitute? You take her out and stone her. But guess who gets to get stoned with her? The guy that hired her gets stoned right along with her. You stone both of them. See, that's a radical departure from Christianity right there. See, in Christian philosophy, whores are bad girls that need to have a big A printed on their foreheads because they're bad girls. But the boys, like Bill Clinton, they're studs. They're good guys. They're people we look up to. Make president of the United States, for crying out loud. Isn't that special? But not Monica Lewinsky. She's a bad girl. She's a slut. She's a whore. We look down on her. She's a tramp. Isn't that just special? Yeah, we have this double standard. It's a hypocritical double standard. It's called Christianity. Hell, it's right up in your face. And then these Christians, they come along and they pick up the Bible like Bill Clinton. You see him walking out of church with a Bible under his arm. He's got this slut in his Oval Office, and he's got his wife, and they're walking out of church with a Bible under their arms. Can you believe that crap? It happens in America, or maybe only in America. And 65% of us go to church every Sunday. I'm not one of them. I just want to point out that there's 65% of the rest of you that go to church every Sunday. All right, well, in that Bible over there, there's 7 or 8 statutes in there that tell you not to practice whoredom, girls. And then it says, if you do, we're going to take you out and stone you to death. And then secondly, we're going to stone that joker that went with you. So Bill Clinton and Monica, both of them ought have been stoned to death. Monica, you were guilty as hell. Bill, so were you. And you needed to get the full penalty over there. And that's the way you eliminate crime. The way that the crime gets eliminated is you eliminate the criminals. Now, you see, in Leviticus 18, we've got some crimes in there like incest. And whoredoms and bestiality and things like that. And so the way you eliminate that is you take the people that practice that out and kill them. And you do it in public so that everybody else can see it, witness it. So that's what we're going to do to you if you do that. And then God says that way they can hear and fear. And so somebody is going to write me a letter and they're going to say, but that's not kind and gentle. And on top of that, that's barbaric. Well, that's the God I'm reporting on, the barbarian God. So I just thought I'd share that with you. You guys are out there worshiping sweet Jesus. You know, the kind of gentle guy that did away with the Ten Commandments so that you could all go out and practice, you know, adultery and bestiality and hence to have a hell of a time. Have a great time. Have fun. Did away with just weights and balances and usury and interest so that you can use credit cards down at the bank and have a big mortgage, you know, without any penalties. No economic collapses, no depressions and recessions. You know, just get all the good times and no bad times following sweet Jesus. Now, I just thought I'd come in here and rain on your parade a little bit and say, you know, that's some kind of a dream world. I was watching TV last night, and they said Barack Obama has a popularity rating that's almost as high as Jesus. Not quite, but almost. I expect him to walk on water on Inauguration Day. 66 2/3% of Americans believe that Barack Obama is going to lead us out of the recession. Well, great on your parade here, boys and girls, but this isn't a recession. This is a full-blown depression, and this thing is going to run for another 10, maybe 15 years. It's going to end up in a nuclear bomb war. The United States of America is going into national captivity, and we're in a downward mode, and that's the way it's going to continue. There's no good news, and there's nothing good coming out of this. Nothing. Well, if there is, I can't see it. Now, I looked at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Americans don't. And Americans have great optimism and great hope for the future. I don't. It's bad now, and it's going to get a whole lot worse. And that's because I don't see anybody out here suggesting that we go back to practicing the law of God and that we turn away from these criminal acts. I don't see anybody telling us that we need to start practicing quarantine and stop taking oaths, abolish Social Security, stop the bribery and the lobbying, tear down the graven images, and replace our holidays with the holy days of Leviticus 23. I haven't seen any of that. I'm not here to tell you people, you know, that you need to change your religion or that you need to change, you know, change your wife or change your job. But hey, look, I'm just laying it on the line for you. If you're going to practice credit, usury, credit cards, unjust weights and balances, you're going to have economic problems. That's what caused them. These banks and bankers, with their usury and interest, and their Federal Reserve notes and their mortgages and their interest, have led you down the primrose path. That's why you have an economic crisis. If you want to know why you have venereal disease, you have AIDS, you know, Bill Clinton is working mightily along with George Bush, going around the world here trying to solve the AIDS problem. Help, help, boys and girls, the AIDS problem was solved back in the Garden of Eden. It's called Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. We've got a law that will abolish AIDS. But see, nobody wants to practice the law. What they want to do is they want to practice sodomy, and they don't want to get AIDS. Oh, I think you people are living in a fool's paradise here. I want to break this law, but I don't want to pay the penalty. Hell, we don't advertise that out there. We don't say, well, you don't like this guy, go murder him, and it's okay. And you can probably get away with that. And the advertisements are, you know, if you murder this guy, we're going to get you if it takes 115 years. And we'll get you long after you're dead and buried. Now, this is a fool's paradise. In our last program, which will be the next program over here, let's take a look at why God is doing that. Who's doing this to us? Have you ever wondered about that? Or at the very least, how come God isn't protecting us from all of these penalties, you know, like the great collapse of the world's economy? How come God isn't protecting us from that? I'll tell you why next time. But I'm running out of time, so I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, private, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.